Right, good evening. Welcome along to the podcast. Of course, if anyone's been watching the Periscope, thanks for joining us on Periscope. It was great to have an interaction with you guys. We went along tonight, even though there were some complete lunatics constantly texting us in all the time. Swear to God, some of you need your head examined. Anyway, tonight on the show, we're going to be looking at the fallout from the Coutinho incident. We're going to be looking at potential replacements, the questions FSG need to be asked, and look ahead to the City match and ask the question... What question have we asked? Ask the question. We're going to beat City, and also, who's going to win the fight between Jose Infante and... Jose Infante? Who's going to win a fight between himself? It's Fight Club. big thanks as ever to Skillzone for sponsoring the podcast. Get up there and do the 10 sports and see where you come on the leaderboard. Andy is still training for the War Games. We're just waiting for him to come out of it. And, of course, we're waiting for Steve-O to be released from his detention in Australia to come back. February. What?
I won't be able to do it
with February. February now, is it?
All right.
Yeah. What sugar got to do with? All right, grand. Okay, so I'm going to stick the advertisement in for the skill zone here, and we'll be back to you in a second.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball, and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
Good evening. Welcome along to the Transfer Window exclusive Tuesday Club. And we've got some huge yellow ticker announcements towards the end of the show. Joining me tonight is huge transfer exclusive. We've got Shawnee FC. Say hello, Shawnee FC.
Hello, Shawnee FC.
Good man. We've got James O'Regan, aka at South Cirque, or you'll find him on Facebook as Rubber Nose.
How's it going?
And then beside him, we have Andy Young. Say hello, Andy.
Hello.
One of the original founders of the Day Trippers, along with Trev Downey, Stephen Brown, myself, and that was it. Sorry, Steve, that was the first two ones.
Yeah, Steve-O came along a lot later. With Jamie and ruined it.
Yeah, ruined it. Ruined it. We are a well-respected pod until he came along.
Pretend he's Scousers.
Jamie's Cadigan.
And then beside me, of course, is our local and one and only Scouser. Well, apart from Jamie, but Jamie's from Birkenhead, isn't he, or something?
No. Say Helens.
What?
Say Helens.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's all fucking Liverpool to anyone who doesn't live there.
Jamie and Matt are both... They don't have purple bins.
They don't have purple bins.
They're non-purple bins. It just
non-purple
orange bins or something.
Tell you who doesn't have purple bins anymore, Felipe Coutinho.
Right, I'll just turn off the sound here so I can see the comments that are coming through, because obviously we'll have at least 25,000 people watching us tonight. Isn't that, Andy?
Did you have a purple bin, Ray?
No, I moved outside of Liverpool for that exact purpose.
To get away from
the purple bin stigma, yeah.
Were the bins cheaper out for them?
They were a little bit cheaper, yeah. They were even more cheaper now that Liverpool City Council are going to pay for 2/3 of that stadium.
So good evening, folks, and welcome along. Of course, you know, we were here last week and nothing much has happened since we were here last week. We think about last week, we were elated with the news that Van Dijk had just signed for us. This colossus of the V unit has just landed into Anfield, was going to wreck the league. We had everything sorted. We weren't going to sell anybody because we didn't need to. Everyone has a contract and there's no need to sell them before the World Cup. We felt we could do something special, definitely in the Champions League, and there was literally no reason to fear this Manchester City match. We had everything sewn up. So since then, Emre Can has signed for Juventus, although he's thankfully decided to stay at the club, so I think he's on loan to us until the end of the season. We asked Juve for a loan and they said yeah, sure. Remember the Aquilani thing we always on that one. And then of course Coutinho, the little snake rat, pissed off the Barcelona. Fuck you.
We held all the aces.
Yeah. Literally, he had one card, right?
It was a joker.
We knew it was the joker, and we had four aces. Yeah. You win. You're in. So, Andy, look, to kick this off tonight, because I don't want to depress more people in terms of what's going on. So, come on, give me your read on the Coutinho situation. You are literally the most positive human I know when it comes to Liverpool Football Club generally, but this one sort of has hit you a little bit.
Not because Coutinho's gone, because I'm done with, like, getting emotionally attached to players since Torres. I know players come and go. That's modern football now. Players are just assets, they're just commodities. They come, you get the best out of them and then they go. We got 5.5 years out of him. He wanted to go. There's not much you can do to stop a player once he wants to go. It's just a matter of time, really.
Could you take his passport? Like kidnap his kids or something. You can have them back at the end of the season.
Yeah. So I don't give a shit about him. When I just look at him in the Barca shirt, I'm just numb. When I seen Torres in the Chelsea shirt, I was filled with rage.
Yeah.
Like it's gone. Like really, really disappointed, you know, on a player like when, but at that stage, I just believed in magic, like that players are just gonna, yeah, just stay with us forever and all that.
Yeah.
But Coutinho, once he started putting game after game after game together, form, and it wasn't just patchy performances of brilliance, he was always going to head one direction, and that's what all Brazilians do. If Barca starts sniffing around, they go. So that's fine. He's gone, and we accept that. But January is just a little bit hard to take for me. I think the whole situation could have been handled a little bit better. I'd have preferred if it was on the cards in June, for it to be done in June, last June, and get a player in, or else for it to be an agreement between the two clubs that he stays till this summer, and then it gives us time to line up a player. Because I don't really believe that the money is going to be spent valuably. Like, you know, 140 million is a massive amount of money if you just look at it as 140 million. But if you're going to spend 90 million on Lamar, 140 million is nothing, because he's a fraction of the prospect that Coutinho is.
He's not the finished article, is he?
Coutinho is a 26-year-old established quality player. Lamar might take seasons to get it's up mad, to speed like, in the league.
He may never get up to
the stage. No, so the stage.
That makes 140
Sean,
million.
I'll put it to you like this, right? Like, I'll give you. We've taken some highly rated French players in before. Bernard Diomed, Jean-Michel Ferry, Anthony Letalic, and Florimond Singapangolo. And basically, like, there's no guarantee that any transfer that we make is going to work. But what's different about the Lamar? Why do you think Lamar is the right man to replace Coutinho?
I don't think he is.
Then like, I don't want to James.
No, like what Andy said, going back to Andy, like 90 million for Lamar is mental. Like when you're thinking, we're kind of buying Lamar are a bit more, he's a little bit more developed than when we took Coutinho from Inter Milan. But we got Coutinho from Inter Milan for 8.5 million.
Yeah.
And from the minute we signed him, we were like, that's an absolute steal. Like, you know what I mean? It's a massive gamble to spend 90 million on Lamar. I don't think he's worth it. And I don't think there's a player in the world that we can buy to replace Coutinho, because there's not many like him. We have to, of course.
No. Do we want to replace like for like Ray?
Not necessarily, no. And the thing is, one option I'd be on board with is bringing, for example, Keita in early. Mm. You know, bring him in, get the extra cash out and bring him in. I don't think we don't need to go for a direct replacement. We've done enough, you know, with bringing in VVD, we've done enough to strengthen that, you know, that part of our game. If we brought in a keeper, for example, that would be another upgrade. It's about upgrading certain parts of the team, so we don't need a direct replacement. Mm. So I wouldn't go, you know, all out, you know, to pay the 90 million for Lamar, for example. No. I think that the owners will hesitate on spending that much money
for a 22-year-old.
The other side of it as well is, like, we're in a far better position now after losing Coutinho than we were, say, when we lost Suarez and when we lost Torres. Now, I know we got Suarez and Carolyn as soon as Torres went. But now you're looking at, like, Coutinho was probably the best footballer at the club before he left, but he arguably not the most important player in the team. Like, we've Mane now, we've Firmino, and we've Salah, who are capable of winning games and capable of beating most teams with those players in the side. We showed we can win without Coutinho, we've showed that we can win without Salah. So, like, I'd be more interested in us, like, using the money not to just replace Coutinho, but to just bolster our first 11 before anything. Not one, like, particular position. Say, like, this talk of Alisson. If just going and paying 50 million for a goalkeeper, like, when we probably wouldn't have done it otherwise, like, you know.
She sounds gorgeous.
We have to change the FIFA rules to allow females to play in the male team. So I don't know how we're going to do it. Has it got to that stage that we're now going to have women goalkeepers because every male goalkeeper we bring into the club
he
just
looks
turns
a bit like
shape.
You, actually.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a beard now.
He does.
So we'll have Clavo and we'll have Alisson.
Clavron.
I've never seen him play. I only heard was good things, but
Shawny Allison.
Or just now, if you're gonna offer me a highly rated bloke,
Shallison.
Between him and between, I hope you don't fucking sign him now, for fuck's sake.
But right, yeah. Come here, James. Moving on to yourself,
Allison.
Ali Larson, yeah. Ali Larson, change your Twitter handle to Ali Larson.
My brother's name is Alan, for fuck's sake.
Your brother's name?
My brother's name is Alan, yeah.
Yeah, brother's name is Alan.
Converted since I've last been on, yeah.
All the brothers are known as Alan.
Yeah, my brother's name.
There's Alan. Alan Dabby. James, what I was going to ask you. I want to. Obviously, Coutinho's gone, but the follow for the club. Now, I'm talking away from the player leaving, right? I'm talking about the way the whole situation's been handled. The apparent visibility in this is that Liverpool is now confirmed as a second-tier club, and even when we hold the aces, we can't hold off bigger clubs like the likes of Madrid or a Barcelona or a Paris Saint-Germain or a Southampton.
We probably are at the moment. We're, you know, we're in the situation where
Shawnee, Joe, just hang on a sec. Joe, can you just move in a wee bit there because he wants to see your lovely face. There we go. Thanks. There you go, Joe. That's for you. Sorry about that.
I suppose with Coutinho and most South Americans as well, like, you know, they're never going to turn down either Real Madrid or Barcelona. That's the pinnacle for a South American player. So we're always going to be a stepping stone. But, you know, if we got 5.5 years out of Coutinho and, you know, we molded him into the player he is today and he's been brilliant for us. So, you know, we are at the moment. We haven't won anything in God, what is it, 10 years? 11 years at this stage. So how can we...
Well, we won the League Cup.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that. But, you know, okay. we haven't built success the way, you know, year on year, Barcelona or Real Madrid or, you know, they're in this Champions League every year. This is the first time we're in it in like 8 years or something. So, you know, we have to consolidate that. And so, you know, you can't blame someone like Coutinho for going to Barcelona, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I know, but from a club perspective.
From a club perspective, look, we've got the highest transfer fee ever for a player because Neymar bought out his own contract. It's all about how we go forward and reinvest the money we've got now. And, you know, like Ray said, I don't think... And, you know, there isn't a like-for-like replacement for Coutinho, so I would go with... strengthening other areas on the pitch, like a goalkeeper, and maybe, you know, if we can get Kate in, why not?
Right. I was going to ask Andy because there's a common perception out there that Andy is the oldest day tripper, right? But I think you might have a bit, because you're local, you might have a bit more knowledge around this one. But has it not been the case that Liverpool has always tended to sell their best players to the best teams in Europe when they've come knocking? So I go back to the time when Rush was there, and we sold him to Juventus.
Yeah,
You look at when McManaman had a deal. We had a deal on the table from Barcelona for McManaman, and he decided to see it out because he wanted to go to Real Madrid and say, "Good chance."
Michael Owen. Barcelona's
is that not a Premier League thing though?
It's Michael Owen went.
But the Premier League's best player has normally always moved on.
Ronaldo,
hasn't it? Like Ronaldo, Bale, Modric was a standout player. Mm. Like I think the United had sustained this success for. Under Ferguson, so but even then they couldn't keep Ronaldo. You know what I mean? They were winning Champions Leagues and league titles. I think like for foreign players, Barcelona and Real Madrid is always going to be the pinnacle. Like you don't see Bayern Munich snapping up players like that. It's always Barcelona and Real Madrid.
I know, and it's interesting because when you see these discussions happening on Twitter, like they always say, you know, Bayern will buy it.
It's happening now with Salah.
Like, but the angle realistically, is there. It's Real and Barca.
Yeah, it always has been.
But back in when Keegan went, like it was Hamburg, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Hamburg were a big side then.
If you just go back to this whole question about Liverpool selling the better players, sometimes it comes down to the better players wanting a better, bigger challenge at the
or
end
a new
of the
challenge,
day. new scenery, new place to go and try and. Play football, so and the life experience that you get living elsewhere. So it's not always a sort of a hard and fast rule, really.
No.
It's not always 100% footballing decision. There will have been lifestyle. There will have been family in the background. There will have been kids to raise in a certain culture and language and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot that goes into these transfers.
Andy, because you often engage with these lads, but there's a lot on here now who are angry at FSG and saying it's pure greed from their behalf and they just want to take the money.
I don't really understand how like it's greed. Like it's mutually beneficial. Like they want to make the club better, to increase the value of the club. I mean, and along the way, if you're doing that, you're going to win trophies, and that's going to make us happy. If we can't compete with oil money or whatever money, wherever Abramovich gets his few dollars from, you have to come up with other ways. And this is just one of them. Like, you've got an 8 million player who's gone for 140 million, and it allows us now to go out and maybe buy a goalkeeper, replace him, and buy another centre half or address your other areas. We're losing a centre midfielder for free. You know, so it's,
do you think,
to say
about
it's great, like, on their behalf. Like, I've never known or heard of the owners actually pulling money out of the club.
But even Coutinho and I say that the club literally done everything possible to keep me. If it was a case of greed, I don't think he'd be even saying that. Like, he owes nothing to Liverpool. Coutinho, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't have to say them things.
Let's think about it. The 140 million has come down largely due to timing and all of this. So basically, if you say, for instance, we would have sold him the same time we sold Sterling, and we got, what, 49 million for Sterling? We thought that was, you know, we did okay out of that deal. If we were selling Coutinho at that time, because of the way the transfer market was at that time, we might have got 50, 60 million for him. Now, I think the owners in Boston were probably doing fucking high fives and hooplas when they got the 140 million.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it represents an unbelievable amount of money for a player. And it's down to the timing of the fact, for me, that Barcelona got that money for Neymar and they were desperate to go out and show. Hang on, we've lost this player, but look who we're bringing in. Yeah. And they went pretty much balls out in the summer. We told them to fuck off. We were all delighted that we did. But ultimately, it was never going to end in any other way. And the 140 million is pure. It's not greed. They have got the value of where the market has gone now. It's
I don't understand the greed, because it's not like United, where they're paying out the shareholders and they're increasing the shares, and it's pumping more money into the club. This money is going to be invested back in the team.
You can talk about
net spend and all that, but at the end of the day, it's just another revenue stream.
This is what FSG...
They're going to have to get their money from somewhere.
FSG have said this from day one. Every penny that comes in, they will reinvest in the team. That has been their whole philosophy.
But seemingly, that's not good enough.
Okay, can I just put that back? Because there's a bit that's in my head that I can't pair up, right? I cannot pair up. We have a shitload of money sitting in our bank accounts, right? The stupidity of the deal that goes on is that we don't line up our alternative, have that in the door, and then do the deal, right?
Yeah.
We have 140 million now sitting in the bank account, and now we're trying to put out, well, you know, we're not in a rush to do a deal and we won't be held to ransom. Well, I'm sorry, you've just pulled your pants down, showed your cock off, and said, look how big it is, right? But no, I'm not going to play with it. So, like, do you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Instead, we could have just said, right, let's do a deal for Lamar. Maybe get him in for 75, 80 million. Say, look, we haven't agreed any deal with Coutinho. Yeah. Just hang on a second, right? Or whatever it is. And the problem is, when I look at it, I see 150 million euro. Okay, because the Sterling sign and the euro sign is completely interchangeable in paper reports, depending on what country you're in, right? And that's the only difference it is. And then I look at it and I say, Keita, 55 million, and I look at Van Dijk, 75 million, right? And then I come back to the 150 million euro figure. Now, I'm just saying, why don't we get our replacements in for Coutinho before we make the Coutinho deal? Then I think, shit, we signed Van Dijk literally 2 days before the deal is announced. Now, without being hypercritical here and being along the FSG outline and saying this is just all is a massive coincidence and that's
it
the way it is.
It does seem like a big spin.
It does seem like a big spin.
You can't deny that. It does.
It's not like...
We don't know whether it's coincidental or not, but we knew since the summer. Like, before we were trying to sign Van Dijk in the summer, we weren't trying to flog Coutinho. So I think we probably would have got Van Dijk regardless, but I don't think it would have been done on the 1st of January.
Do you know what I mean? I think it was really well orchestrated. You know, they make the big splash sign, and you know, we're all so excited. There was another thing that was snuck in as well, which
the
was
price. So that was another good news story. It's not like Barcelona just ring up and say, "Much do you want? Well, we want 140 million. All right, well that's it. It's done." Like, doesn't work like that. This is a multi-million dollar business now, like football.
There's no perfect way of doing this in terms of timing your transfers.
The like when it was before it kind of broke, when it was still like speculation that Coutinho was leaving and everyone was thinking, you never know, like Liverpool still in their hands. Obviously the deal had been agreed. Like it seems now Nike put that out now and that the deal was done. When Nike made that, everyone the was like, was no, fuck yeah. Nike. Everyone was thinking, ah, fuck Nike.
I didn't think fuck Nike. I said, that's done. That's a done deal.
Yeah. Nice. So what happened was,
it looked fairly obvious.
So what happened was,
I know,
it's the PR machine in full swing.
No, Peter won't be on tonight. That's all.
I have absolutely no doubt
in my mind that this deal was arranged before Van Dijk. It's
100%.
Now, like, you could say it's bankrolled it, but sure, we've only paid 25 million up front for Van Dijk.
I'd love to see what these lunatics would be at now if he hadn't signed Van Dijk and just sold Coutinho. Do you know what I mean? I want to move on.
I mean, there's rational debate to be had. There's proper discourse to be had about FSG and their intentions to win trophies. And there's absolutely legitimate cause for talk. But the problem with all this other bullshit, the conspiracies and the making up things and inventing figures and inventing rumours, it just dilutes it all. Yeah. And it's not helpful.
We need to question the owners
because they can stand behind, they can protect themselves from the nonsense that goes on. They can just say, this whole theory is fucking complete bollocks because of all the other shit that goes on. Let's forget all that and talk about it properly.
A couple of questions that people forgetting that we've actually been statistically better without Coutinho this season. We'll get onto that as we get into the preview of the City match. But I want to move on because we've rushed around to replace or not replace and who we think about replacing Coutinho with. But isn't there not a bit of humour in that the papers haven't the breeze, haven't the fucking bugs notion
what's going on? Because I genuinely don't think there's anything happening.
That's fine.
How many papers reported that Van Dijk was having a medical that day?
Yeah,
we found out he had a medical after he had a medical.
I'm not mad at the idea of journals having. Do you know what? The less the journals know, the better, because it's just giving these lunatics on Twitter more fucking shite to fling at each other, and it's going all over. Nobody knows what's going on. Like I'm saying, with that Van Dijk thing, I was buzzing off that. Yeah. Like the way that came out.
I actually cried a little tear of joy for you inside. You were like a kid at Christmas.
I was literally lying in my bed fucking screaming the gaff down, and I was saying, do you know what? And then you think, oh, that's it. Like, it's just like, that's it. It's done.
People doing that in Tesco and all that sort of stuff.
They're smearing themselves with dog food.
Smearing themselves with strawberries and dog food.
Oh. Like, if it was any other club, like, you'd be thinking, surely they have someone lined up. But you just don't know. Like,
okay, so let me run through the names. Goretzka. I honestly don't get the Goretzka one because it seems like that's the one deal.
I think Goretzka signs for Bayern, and the reason why it can't come out now is because he's playing in the same league as Bayern Munich, so nothing can be really announced or agreed.
Well, it can't because it has to be, but I think he doesn't want to announce it because it looks like Schalke will put him into the reserves in a World Cup year and he wants to go with the national mannschaft.
The hood went to Bayern last year as well, didn't he?
Rudy.
Sebastian Rudy.
Yeah.
The hood went to Bayern last year as well.
He went to Dortmund. And signed a pre-contract in March with them.
Yeah, we went to Bayern as well.
Just have a look.
No, he went to Bayern as well. I read that.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Well, did you read it today? Because you got it right.
Goretzka is like, there was a few plugging that. Now, your man Kevin Palmer plugged that, and he was the first one that I seen banging on about Van Dijk. So that's what when I seen him going on, I said, Jesus, that might be.
Well, I think he has actual contacts at Southampton, so that's why he was on the Van Dijk. So whereas the Goretzka one,
I don't think Goretzka is.
Every word out of Germany is Goretzka's going to Bayern Munich.
But Goretzka's
and by the way, Liverpool have not been mentioned this argument. It was the same when the Mkhitaryan thing happened, and it was all over the German media that Mkhitaryan was going to Dortmund. And only people in the world that had Mkhitaryan in airports,
was
in
us.
Liverpool, in London, signing contracts to do medical,
was English.
Were the Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Give me Christian Pulisic.
I love him.
Next summer, maybe we'll probably go.
You
in
think
for
maybe him. Next summer we might go in for him? Okay,
yeah, I think so.
Andy, Lamar.
What about him?
Do you think that could happen this month? Given that the Monaco manager has said that they might be open to doing
I don't think it'd be a wise spend of the money. It'd be 2/3 of the container. They're not quite 2/3, but it would be a fairly large portion on a player we don't really know whether, you know, it's going to work out.
Ray, should we hijack the Donker deal? we'd have Van Dijk and the Donker.
No, the last thing I want to see in this window is someone panic. Just brought in for the sake panic, of being brought in. And there's so many names being banded around. The thing that I think we've got to remember is there's a few games to be played as well before now and the end of the window. There could be injuries picked up. That's one potential thing. Or we could just go on a really piss poor run, you know, and that's the thing that worries me.
That
the end, you know, some of these players that, you know, the likes of Mahrez, for example, we might just fucking panic and just put the money down last day of the window just to appease a certain
I don't think that'd be a panic buy at all. I think, like, his head would be very much torn by Liverpool. You'd get him for 45-50 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't think he's as versatile as Coutinho. Like.
But he's still, look, he won player of the season. He's gone, he's going to hit the ground running. Mm. You know, you don't have them assurances of Lamar. I'm sure maybe he's going to be a great player, but Mahrez would make a bit of sense to me. I think the cleverest thing they can do with that.
Yeah, but we've for the first time in history, we've contacted a club without apologising to say, look, hey, listen, we don't have any trouble.
Twitter.
We've
that's Twitter, that is.
We don't want anything.
I just want to let you know, that's Twitter. Yeah. That wasn't us.
Yeah.
We didn't make it up.
That's the transfer exclusive. Liverpool rang up fucking Leicester and said, listen, we don't want any
The smartest thing they could do with the money right now is, as Ray says, go and get Naby Keita in, because we're light in midfield now. Yeah. We're less about
I disagree. The one thing I'd say is, if there's a £40 million buyout clause for a €40 million buyout clause for Alisson, the Roma goalkeeper, if there is a €28 million buyout clause for the Sevilla keeper Sergio Rico, if there is a €90 million buyout clause for Jan Oblak, if there is any buyout clause for any competent goalkeeping coach as well out there, any of them, anyone that can teach, that can improve a goalkeeper when it comes to a club,
functional bipedal,
as opposed to disimprove every goalkeeper he's coached since he's been at the club. That's where the priority should be, because we've signed a leader of a centre back. We have three capable centre backs to play alongside him. Right, it will make no blind bit of difference if the fella that stands behind him concedes one and two shots.
How much did we get for Coutinho?
140.
How much would a smear campaign against John Achterbay cost? Wouldn't be the worst idea.
So to be honest with you, I swear that if we could sign one player in the goal in the window, it would be a coach and it would be a goalkeeper, because I desperately think, I think Karius is a busted flush from a Liverpool fan's perspective, and that's always going to make him uneasy, and he has massively disimproved since he was at Mainz. Mignolet is awful, right? We aren't prepared to give Ward a go. So we're going to be playing with we are very much in an 0-5 situation where we're playing with throw them up and see who gets a go and go between Dudek and Carson for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's mad. Mm. Yeah, it's mad, really. When we're actually
European Cup, so history will repeat itself.
We could easily go into second before the end of this month. Like, that's how close we are to. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And that's the whole problem we have with Coutinho.
It makes less sense.
He is a match winner. Now, I know fellas will throw up all stats this season. We've won more games without him. Throw it up for the last 5 years with him in the team, and then we'll see.
We've risked top four, haven't we? I think you mentioned it. I don't know if you're going to bring it back up, this whole thing about the stats, about our record with or without him. But like, for me, that's a little bit kind of one-dimensional, because what you got to remember is he was part of the whole rotation thing as well.
Yeah.
So by having him and being able to have him come in and out of the team like other players, we've been able to accumulate all of those points over the course of November and December. So he was very much a big part of us getting those points in November and December that have put us in a decent position now. So I don't buy that argument entirely.
If this theory existed that we're better without Coutinho, Klopp wouldn't play Coutinho for the whole season. Yeah. A player who he knows.
It's mad.
Wouldn't be 416,000 t-shirts printed with a Fab Four on it, which involves Coutinho, which are now being sent off to find head replacements, to find somebody. Yeah. Like, basically, I know there's been.
Was he in the Fab Four, by the way? Who was he?
Who was him?
No, who was he putting?
They were trying to say it's Pete Best, but it's not, because Coutinho was Paul McCartney.
Until
Paul McCartney was abducted by aliens and was replaced with the robot that lasted there after 1960.
So that's going to be Thomas Lamar. He's going to be the alien Paul McCartney.
The alien Paul McCartney is Thomas Lamar.
For 90 fucking million.
For 90 million. But you pay a lot for artificial intelligence these days.
You do.
You know? That's just the way it is. Google.
Virtual Van Dijk.
Virtual Thomas Lamar.
AI.
Right. The question I have now for to move this along as we move towards the Man City bit, but we do have a transfer window exclusive to go here, and Monkey Sponge mentioned that the Mahrez thing. Before we get onto it, the Mahrez thing is a true. Well, there seemed to be truth behind it because the club contacted Leicester about Mahrez, which is true. They just potentially said, well, we're not really interested in him. But do
is
you mind
it true or is it true?
But do you mind him coming to Dubai just to do a medical with us, just in case?
He is in Dubai, actually, wasn't he?
He was
in Dubai, yeah.
Well, the rest of the Leicester team were in town. He was in Dubai. So I'm just saying, just in case.
Yeah. Just
in
case. He's the fallback, isn't he, in case someone gets injured between now and the end.
Who made up that we rang them to say that they aren't interested?
They did. No, do you remember when you rang the stadium?
Someone rang the reception at King Power and said, listen.
One of the lads rang up and said, is this the Leicester Stadium? Do you mind, we aren't looking for Mahrez.
But if you say, maybe he'll sign, but it all came from being sports being tipped off by Declan Connacht.
Yeah, but
it fell in Galway.
It's off being sports.
Yeah.
Cheers.
The other fella.
The other fella.
Damn,
camera.
Hang on, fix the camera.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. She even said,
do you know what, lads, I'm at the pulling myself out. I pulled myself out of wormhole this month. I'm kind of just looking more. I'm more looking into it than being in it. So I'm just kind of.
Your one tweeted that. And about 5 minutes later, gave the credit to where she got a lot of. At that stage, there'd been a million retweets.
People saying it.
And everybody thought there was a medical lined up. And then she credits him.
Who? Dave O'Connor.
Or whatever his name is.
Dave O'Connor.
What? Yeah.
What is his name? O'Connor or
Dave
O'Connor?
Dave Roberts. Dan Roberts. That's his real name, Panda Roberts. So it was him who kicked off this rumor. That's unbelievable.
Did you not know that?
A second. Yeah. No, yeah. I just seen B in sports. He ran up B in sports. I have something to tell you.
Have you ever been to Galway?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. It's the last place in the world that a transfer would be exclusive will come from.
So,
did he even have Wi-Fi in Galway?
Andy, you know this fella Olu. They keep talking about Amar. I'm sorry, but I have no idea who he is, and I've no interest.
Pablo
in
Aymar.
Pablo Aymar or something. I don't know. I genuinely have no idea.
What is it?
Something Olu about Amar Singh or something like that. It must be one of the.
What about him?
I don't know.
I know him.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'll talk to you afterwards. We'll take it offline, as they say.
He wants to
take it offline. Okay.
He wants to bring him on the pod.
I don't know.
He's more than welcome to come into the bunker.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Grand.
Come on over.
Right. So moving on, we have to. Oh yeah. The one thing we have to let you know about is that we have something very special planned for the transfer window today. Can't tell you too much about it, but it will involve a lot of cans. Someone who's been recently kidnapped. You may have seen him on the Fatback Four Pod, but you wouldn't. He would be very small down the bottom of the window, just about there. I was just
is this
48-hour
clock expired?
It
now, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
what people don't know is Gav went over to Lebanon to recreate the hostage situation in the 1980s. He's currently in a bedroom somewhere. We've been on to a load of lads there.
He hasn't turned into a borrower. It was just shit editing.
It was the best camera we could get into the gap, into the basement.
It's like one of the little pinhead cameras. Yep. Ever seen a little CIA?
We sent them over with part of the 54th as the UN peacekeepers and told them, we'll get him lost until the transfer deadline day. I'm working a deal for Goretzka while you're over there. Right, he was being chained to a radiator, and we might get Chris's missus in next week as well. So, because she was on at the weekend. Look, I want to have a look because I want to take this in because with Coutinho gone, the Fab Four is over. We're down to the tremendous three. Do you like that? will we sign somebody before the game? We can discuss this if you want. But with City coming up, it's a pretty big match. Although the way results have gone, we've probably got a bit of a free match in this one as well. So it's not like we must get a result out of it, or else somebody will catch us and overtake us for four.
We can on goal difference. I think we can be caught by Spurs.
Yeah, but they'd have to score a ridiculous amount.
No,
of goals.
Like we lose and they win.
Yeah, no.
The only way the goals go both ways.
No,
no way.
They don't.
Shut up, Andy.
I'm confident.
I know. Yeah,
I'm confident.
But this is what I want. The way I'm pitching this way is, I want you to think about it like this. For the first time, we go into this match as complete underdogs. We haven't had that in a few weeks. Even into the big games, people are expecting us to be able to turn it on and score goals. It's in there. We took a tonking off City the last day. The whole narrative is going to be about how City tonked us in the last game. Liverpool will be out for revenge. But City haven't won 116 games in 20 matches this season.
Yeah, but we're 63 unbeaten since Spurs, aren't we? Or something
63
like
unbeaten.
Yeah.
But they've been getting bonus points.
Yeah.
For the amount of crosses that they score from. But I want to ask you, Sean, start with you first. Looking at the City game, and I want to look at City first, right? Mm-hmm. Where are their weaknesses? What is the weakness in that side?
You can't really...
Outside of the drugs, the fourth thing, allegedly.
The fourth thing, the most obvious thing you'd say is the defence, but they've conceded less goals than anyone this year. But I think City are at the developing that kind of stigma now, whereas teams are frightened to even have a go at them. Like, teams are sitting back, they're not offering much, they're probably just throwing the last bit in the last 10, last 20. But if we have a go at them, we can definitely cause them problems, because I was in the Etihad in September, and up until the sending off, like, Otamendi and Stones were all over the shop against that front three. They really were. Otamendi didn't know whether he was coming or going. So, like, it could be one of them mad games where Liverpool have that mad 20 minute spell. But we just have to get at them.
Okay.
Like, a lot of teams have been afraid to impose their game on City and then just let them camp around their box, and they've been nicking them late goals and all. So I think we just need to have a go at them. That's
James. Where do we go? What do we exploit? How do we get at them? What is their weakness?
I think, as Shawnee said, like, you know, last game, Salah was, like, making, you know, having fun with Otamendi. He was playing with him the entire game, and, you know, he was unlucky not to have scored. He had a fairly bad day, or he should have scored at least once. So,
yeah,
Salah, as we know, has been out for, he's supposed to be rumoured to be ready and fit for the game, so that's a bonus. So, I think Salah is kind of will be the focal point, because he can really get at their defence.
Andy, do we look to exploit the space between the tree and the keeper? Because Edison wants to come out of the box and play football all day long. I've often wondered, why don't teams target that space to try draw the keeper as far out from goal as possible and catch him in no man's land?
Well, we kind of did that last time, didn't we? And I understand Andy's question, but yeah.
You can take it if you want.
No, we kind of did that last time, didn't we? And only for that
incident.
It was unlucky, wasn't it? I mean, it was so close to Mane getting in there and scoring. So, you know, why wouldn't we sort of approach it in a similar sort of way as we did last time? You know, I think we were genuinely unlucky the way that whole game panned out.
Yeah,
it was a freak.
Yeah, it was. And whilst they've not conceded a lot of goals, they haven't been conceding sort of twos, threes, and fours. Well, you can score against them. Like, they're not invincible at the back. And I think if we get, I actually think we can be quite solid ourselves. Yeah. Funnily enough, on Sunday, especially with Van Dijk in there, so I wouldn't be surprised if we could sort of win this game like 2-1 quite easily. And again,
City have conceded the first goal in loads of games in the last sort of December onwards. Like, it kind of felt like they were going to their winning streak was going to come to an end, or their unbeaten run. So if there's any team that can go toe to toe with City, it's going to be us. And I think, I don't envision any other way than both teams going toe to toe for it. I don't see Pep changing his game plan. I don't see Klopp changing his. So they're going to be. It has the potential to be an absolutely fantastic game. I hope it's not ruined by a decision.
Poxy decision.
Well, actually, I do. But it's on the other. You know, it's Aguero's high foot or something like that. Mane is going to be hungry for it. You know, especially lately, his form hasn't been up to much. He got a great goal, but now is the time to
turn the corner.
That particular incident had an impact on the season, you know. So,
does he need to Polak Edison in this game and get away with it?
Don't need a narrative. No. Like, Salah will probably get away because he's like a little smiley bloke. sorry, I won't allow the vote.
We talk about City's defence, you know, and they've conceded less goals. Like Sean says, it's not because it's an amazing defence, it's just because teams won't come at them. They don't want to get exposed by their attacking players. So, and it's probably our it's not like our defence is all of a sudden amazing. No. It's just our front four.
Did you see the goal he conceded against Burnley?
I want to ask, right, just because we are talking about exploiting the weaknesses, but there's a valid question here. Right, and I'll go back to the point that I was making earlier. We have Broomhead as a goalkeeping coach, and we have
Pancake
Bongo 1 or Bongo 2 and goal, right?
You know, so you're torn on Karius now, eh?
No, Sean.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. That was just one game.
I would rather see him play and go for the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
We'll need Adam at the level we need.
No,
I think Karius' confidence is completely shot.
It's not his confidence.
You don't think so?
No, it's incredibly bad coaching has turned him into a shit goalkeeper in relative terms. He was a brilliant shot stopper in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, he can't jump anymore. He can't dive anymore.
Yeah, he was stuck to his line the other day.
It's not even that. Watch him dive. There's no expansion or stretch in his dive.
Explosiveness.
There's no explosiveness.
How do you coach that Elva goalkeeper?
I don't know.
I think when you just see him act a big not being able to walk, but it just rubs it off.
Just look at it. Reina forgot how to dive.
I'm not joking.
After Javi Valero left and Achterberg was promoted to goalkeeping coach, Reina couldn't dive anymore. This is a common thing.
I think I sent you a video. Anybody who's going to the game.
No.
He didn't dive at all.
Anybody who's going to the game on Sunday, don't watch Van Dijk or Mane doing 1-2s or volleys. Watch Achterberg trying to get around the pitch, because I guarantee you'll
pre-game,
okay. You'll spend the force. You'll be pissing yourself laughing. It's unbelievable. It's like Jabba the Hutt on rollerblades. Like, it's
Jabba the Hutt on rollerblades.
Just watch him. He can't even run. There's no way he is fit. He's pinging balls at these fellas. What the fuck?
Look, my point is, when Valero left, Reina stopped being able to dive. At one stage, Reina could dive miles across the goal and save penalties. He couldn't even dive for the biggest, rolliest things coming over. And suddenly he goes away from it. Oh no, these things are rolling over. He was giving out the fellas before the ball even crossed the line. He just accepted he couldn't dive anymore. He goes back off to Napoli and he gets with Valero again. And all of a sudden he's diving around and making saves again, right? Bad Jones, he was able to dive when he was at Mills, but couldn't dive with us. Gone to Holland and he's the best goalkeeper in the world last year.
Galaxy as well. Right?
Galaxy
playing the Champions League.
Galaxy headed off after being with Ting, then goes to Red Bull Salzburg, and then goes to Red Bull whoever is next, and then Red Bull Leipzig.
Bogdan, he was amazing for Bolton.
Bogdan can't even walk anymore. He can't even walk. His cruciates fell out.
I'll tell you what, Liverpool could make an episode of Black Mirror based on John Achterberg just bringing in and fucking brainwashing these people.
You can't dive.
The ground is hard. You will not dive.
You better trademark that before Charlie Booker gets on it.
Your knees are locked. Unfortunately, Markovic was in the room on the first day. Arrived. My knees are locked.
Van Dijk is starting to stiffen up already. he was doing a Billy Stutter now when he signed on the party. I'm telling you. I'm fucking telling you.
All joking aside, looking at it, right? The biggest issue we have is that we concede one and two shots in our goal. Right?
You're going to take loads of shots.
So how many shots out do we reckon City are going to take, and how many goals then do we need to score off the back of shots on target?
You can see an awful lot of clear-cut chances, though.
But Andy, just if you look across the thing, you look at the spread, take away the clear-cut chances, right? Shots on goal, over the last five or six seasons, we've had a diminishing average year on year when it comes to Mignolet, where he's the point now where he's only saving one and two. Right? When he arrived at the club, he saved 3 and 4.
And these aren't even Philly make you up 80 million numbers. These are real.
He was in around 73-74% when he arrived. He's now at 52% shots to saves the shots on goal.
It's shocking.
And it's like, and what we know from watching, it's a range, it's everything. It's like it's mad things, right? So all I'm saying is, you look at that attack that City have, and I know Gabriel Jesus is dead, right?
Yeah. Back at Easter.
He's in the desert now. He's there with the devil, the Barca agents, Kia Drabchen, all out in the devil in his ear. Come to Barca.
Lucas will buy you a house. Lucas thinks it's a good idea. Yeah, come to Barca.
We're not going
to
give out about all that.
But you look at it, right? So you look at that, and it looks like that they probably will sign Sanchez before the weekend. There's a good chance he's going to be eligible for the match as well, right?
It'll have to be before Friday.
Hang on a minute. He's already played enough games against Liverpool this season.
Who?
Sanchez.
He's Liverpool tied, is he?
Yeah. And I talked about the
the real.
Yeah.
You can
the
only
fact
play.
That we were dealt an unfair fixture.
Because of the whole Swansea thing.
Yeah, we played Arsenal twice in the first half of the season. Yeah. That's not fair. And now we're going to have to play
Sanchez at third.
Yeah. So he's Liverpool tied.
Yeah.
So why don't we sign him and then just never play him for the... that'd be like the Kate there, wouldn't it? Like, oh, we have him, we just
can't
play
him. Just don't let him in.
I want to ask... No, I do want to ask you, you look at that attack. You've got De Bruyne, you've got Aguero, you've got Sterling, you've got Sané, you've got Bernardo Silva,
The only blessing is they can only play 11 players.
Yeah.
You know...
They are that good though, Andy. Yeah. Let's not know bounds about this.
How did De Bruyne come back from that injury within a week? That was ridiculous, wasn't
it? It's like you haven't got performance enhancing supplements on the side, you know what I mean?
We have the shit that
fucks you up. They have the shit that makes you better.
Yeah. It's almost like he was given a magic injection or something to make him better. Right? Or like one of those Star Trek tricoders.
Space Jam. It's the Space Jam juice.
Gabriel Jesus.
It makes your bones bendy.
I know. he rips all the ligaments in his knee. We've all seen the pictures. Easter.
They're leaving Mendy out just to keep the sus off. Yeah.
It's like a fucking, when a child falls, like they just like get just back a up. Grand, just, yeah, not grand. A bottom.
Yeah. Magic.
The City players, they take out all the kneecaps and everything.
it was like when John
it's like
Terry
Universal Soldier
never
or something
injured.
Like that.
Yeah. John Terry, never injured.
Yeah,
never injured. They're done for everything else, but never injured. So looking at the amount of peril, you look at that, and it's a threat to any defence, and it's about stopping. Somehow, it's limiting those to goals, or even hoping that they have an off day that they don't score. Because the problem I see is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, we tend not to concede one goal. We either concede none, or we concede a multitude.
Hang on, we've won the last how many games? 2-1.
That's what we're getting on to. Yeah. I just want to see the mid. Because then I was going to say, well, that's bollocks, because we won the last 3-1.
Yeah.
But I'll go back to it and say, in reality though, there is a fear that we could concede a lot of goals. The only good thing is at Anfield we haven't been conceding a lot of goals.
And we have Van Dijk.
And we have Van Dijk.
How many goals have we conceded at Anfield this season?
The least of the league.
Four goals or something. Yeah. But we hadn't conceded many goals. I think we'd only conceded 3 goals in all our matches up until we played City in the last game. And then by the time we finished, we had 9 against because of that game.
Goodmanson and Sigurdsson were the only players to.
Yeah,
I've seen a mad stat like some fucking players from.
Which is Icelandic names are weird because like the
same thing.
You're basically called
son of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the son of. So you're called your dad's first name. What's your dad's first name?
What, my dad?
Yeah.
He's dead.
is that his name? He's dead. Maybe Andy, he's Deadson.
Andy Deadson.
Yeah. No, I get how it works, you know.
Oh, is that what it is? Is it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're a girl, you're called daughter. So say Andy's dad, he's dead. It'd be his dead's daughter.
Dead star.
that's how it works. Looking at our side, how do we line up? What's our strongest number? We obviously we have the tremendous three: Salah, Firmino, and Mane. Do we start with that?
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. No questions about it.
No.
Okay, so then what goes on behind that?
It's gonna be Mignolet. We know it's gonna be Mignolet.
In midfield.
May as well. I don't know what he's gonna do. Mignolet. I'd say Lallana, Gini, Emre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Henderson's dead. Henderson only has 3 more tokens this season. He only played 3 more games. He's not putting any more credits in the machine by Henderson.
It's up to you now.
Moreno might be back, would he?
I'd
go Robertson, Van Dijk, Lovren, and Gomez.
The Lovren thing is going to spark massive debate amongst
people,
right? I don't think it should.
Shouldn't though.
Would he go with Trent though, because we're at home? Because he has gone with Trent quite a bit.
No, but you're going to need Sané and Sterling. I wouldn't put Trent one on one with
you.
Do you
start Van Dijk?
The unfortunate thing is neither
has to, Phil.
That's the one thing.
Especially after the last. I can understand where you're coming from, but if you're not going to play
Van Dijk, is that a real question?
If you're not going to.
Do you want me to make a faggy question? Van Dijk start, he does.
If he struggled against everything, I'd be quite. The way he played against
him. He's 100% starting.
Okay.
With the captain. With the captain.
This is probably the most straightforward team to really call.
But he's going
to. For weeks and weeks.
I'll panic at 2:30 on Sunday if I see Milner in the team, and I'm not going to lie to you.
Gomez or Trent?
Yeah, you were talking about Lallana in the midfield. Milner's going to play in the midfield.
I wouldn't play Milner. I hope he doesn't play Milner. I really do.
So you were saying Lallana, Gini, Chan.
Yeah. That's what I think the best. Lallana or Chamberlain. Either or.
Genie,
no, I don't think
Chan.
Not midfield.
The only reason I look at the Milner and Ox situation is because does he look to have a bit more physicality to try bully them?
Yeah, but Ox is
powerful.
Too, yeah, powerful. Mm. But Lallana is like Lallana isn't a like a whipper either, and he never has been. Lallana always got stuck in. That's one side of his game that's very overlooked.
I understand what you're saying, but in terms of pure physicality, in terms of being able to knock a lad off the ball. Lallana always gets stuck in, but he won't boss a fella off the ball. Yeah. And he's going to be up against the Manchester City midfield. Who's playing in there at the moment?
It's going to be Fernandinho, De Bruyne and Silva.
And Silva, yeah. So like you basically look to batter Silva and then look to bash Fernandinho as well. And with De Bruyne, you go straight for the... Where did he injure himself?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Wherever it is, that's where you go.
He's like the bleeding T1. He's like the T1000. He's made of liquid. No matter what you do, you're just fucking.
You aim directly for that injured part. Just go bald headed for it. Like even if it's like a flying spear tackle or something out of wrestling, you just take him out. Right, you aim to injure him.
I think you have Lallana on the pitch for the goal threat as well. I think he will.
I think Lallana links that midfield to our strikers.
There's a greater chance Chamberlain plays than Lallana.
I hope you're wrong,
because he could go with that. I mean,
Gomez and Trent.
Probably a few games ago back, he kind of reverted to, it wasn't a 4-4-2.
Gomez and Trent's name in the question.
He played Chamberlain on the right and Mane on the left.
Yeah.
Played like two out and out centre midfielders. So he could do that again with Ronaldo and Chan, and then have Firmino and Salah up front.
Up front. Yeah.
I mean, like, City are going to be coming on top of us, and they do leave space in behind the fullbacks.
Yeah.
So Chamberlain and Mane to get on there behind them.
Like when City have the ball, there's eight of them. They've eight attacking options. Yeah.
It's the best chance of staying is the being compact throughout them periods of games that we're going to probably experience where it is all them.
Just that's mental. Sorry,
just boss, selling your best player in January.
Because if you think about it, Firmino will come back around.
It's 1-0 with City and Bristol City.
And Salah.
It's 1-0 now, is it?
Mm. Salah with the pace on the break.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, like, up until the sending off in that game, like that was a mental game of football.
It was going to be a brilliant game of football. Until that point,
I can see it being the same again, but it just depends who takes their chances. It's going to be 100%.
Prediction:
3-1 us.
Cool, that's positive. If Joe Hart wasn't going, I'd say it's definitely happening. The problem is, I think Ederson is possibly
very good,
the second best goalkeeper in the league. This season,
only behind the best in the world at the moment,
Nick Pope. But no, genuinely, I haven't been that impressed with a goalkeeper in his debut system in his debut season in a long time.
Well, he's ugly, so he put his head anywhere. That's the problem with Karius.
But at the same time, he just saves so many bloody shots. Like you saw it in the game against United, and he makes that double save towards the end of the game.
He's unbelievable. He's winning, and his distribution is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I've never seen anything like him.
James,
I think it's going to be an absolutely mad game, and I think we're going to win 3-2.
Andy,
4-2 to Liverpool. I'm almost certain there's going to be 6 goals in the game.
Okay, Ray,
2-1 Liverpool.
2-1.
I called 2-1 against Everton.
4-2-1s in a row.
Mm.
I reckon it'll be a 1-1 draw. One of the rare 1-1 draws this season.
That's impossible.
Yeah, feels impossible.
I know. Mm. Yeah, but I just think it'll be one of those. I think, didn't we draw 1-1 with Chelsea?
If Megas conceded like a goal every 2 shots,
we're not playing with a goalkeeper.
City are going to have 20
shots. I didn't announce
shots.
Who my team was. We're going with 5 centre backs.
City are going to have 20 shots. We're going to have 20 shots.
So you can see it's 10.
Yeah. It could easily be 10.
10.
Whatever.
10, 9. And not on penalties. If it was penalties, it'd be 22, 20. Okay, so look. Everyone's going for wins by myself. Who reckons it'll be a draw?
It's one of them. It's like the other side. Like, if City score a force, they don't really change. They always play the same way.
Mm. Yeah.
No matter like what score it is. Whereas we score a force, it's going to be like, that's the type of game it's going to be. Like, no matter who scores first, it won't change, I don't think, because two teams are just going to have the idea of getting at them.
I don't fancy us if we concede first. I think the heads might drop.
Yeah, that's
just going, just because of the last game and everything else. Yeah. I think, like, there'll be serious belief in the dressing room that they can beat, that they can win this game. There'll be serious belief all week that they can win this game. But I think if they can save the first goal,
the hide me talk at the Eddie had, if you can't take, look, okay, that's a team talk, don't like, yeah, know what I mean?
Okay, look, we move on to Trippers chats. So let's start off with a couple that came in. So actually, one leading on from an article Modi posted today was around LFC Cult Hero. So I want to know, who is your LFC Cult Hero, Shawnee FC?
Peter Crouch.
Yeah,
love Crouchy.
Yeah.
Even since he's left, I think he'd be selling him too early. Like, he took a while to get going, but I love Peter Crouch. Some huge moments. Like, when I was growing up as a kid, like, it's the goals against Besiktas, his hat-trick against Arsenal. He scored, I remember he scored the winner against United in the FA Cup. And, like, he's just, like, even look at him now, still on Twitter and all, he's still a great bloke. And he's still scoring goals in Premier League. That's Crouchy, great. Love Crouchy.
That's a good show. Wouldn't be one of that's in the obvious shouts for Cult Heroes. Because it's normally somebody really shit that people just like for no obvious reason. James, who's yours?
Yari Littman. I you know, when we first signed him, I was so delighted because obviously, you know, he'd had such a great career and I thought, you know, this is great for us. And then just, it was just always frustration about Houllier wouldn't play him, basically. And, you know, but when you saw him play, just his intelligence on the pitch, and it was just something that was from that particular team at the time that was lacking. And he was just so brilliant, and it was just so frustrating that we never played him more.
Andy?
Rosenthal.
Ronnie Rosenthal. Explain this one.
No reason. Just felt sorry for him.
He had a big hell at, like, his missus.
He scored a load of goals.
But he was brilliant, you know, when he was, he had that spell there, and he was banging in goals. Aside from that miss against Villa. Yeah.
So it's an interesting one.
But he used to like the way he run.
Yeah.
Runned.
He used to run. He used to run with his head.
Do you remember the way he used to run?
Yeah. No.
No.
Will I do it?
I've heard the onset of Alzheimer's.
He kind of shoulders were hurting his head.
Oh yeah, because when he was running, that's why he couldn't score that goal.
Where is it? Fucking Quasimodo.
Ray.
Yeah, a bit of an obscure one. Do you ever remember?
It better be obscure.
Yeah, do you ever remember we had Sean Dundee playing for us for that little while? Do you remember, no?
Sean Dundee.
Can you tell the difference between Sean Dundee and Eric Moyer?
Easily.
If I put a picture in front of you, hang on.
This looks like a Pepsi test.
I never wanted anyone to score a goal more than that fella, because he was just complete shite, but he wanted it more than anything, just to score a fucking
worse
goal.
Worse than Ricky Lambert?
He never scored a goal for us.
Jesus.
He got a few games. I wouldn't even know the season, but it was getting to be a running joke at the time. But no, he was brilliant.
Eric Moyer or Sean Dundee?
That is Sean Dundee.
It's not a Eric Moyer. Brilliant. Can't beat that.
Get Sean Dundee up there. When I was picturing Sean Dundee, I actually seen Cherry Rose head.
There's Sean Dundee.
Okay.
Here's look.
That's absolutely brilliant.
So your cult hero
is Eric Moyer.
You don't even recognise you're there screaming at Eric Moyer, come on Sean, come on, we're weak.
Can you imagine we had special guest Ray is cult hero
Sean Dundee,
and he's sitting there thinking of Sean Dundee.
You bring Sean Dundee and he's going, who's your man? I wonder who's going on the graphic tonight.
I still won't be able to fucking tell.
Good show. TT camera from Gav Doyle.
Who?
TT camera.
Oh, yeah, he showed me your cult hero.
I know.
Do you remember that goal?
You broke a limb for
the goal in Highbury.
He's been deadly.
Oh God,
he's been deadly.
He's mad pro Liverpool as well.
Yeah. Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's all on the Naby page.
Paddy Berger was one of mine now in the late '90s. Loved, and his thunderbolt left foot that he used to have. It was just ruthless.
Great Barnett as well.
Fantastic Barnett.
Left footers are just.
We went down to Southampton. Went down to the Dell.
Who were you buying?
Yeah, it was before them.
Before
days.
We bought Southampton players,
and it was a fucking awful game. Probably Letizier scored for them or something. It was 1-0. It was like 85th minute, and Titi Camara scored the equaliser, and he sort of ran over towards us, and we all went absolutely fucking mental. And then we went back up to London because we were living in London at the time, singing Titi Camara all fucking night, getting more and more lashed up. Got a taxi home, got on the back of this kind of van, you know, one of these kind of youth vans that was parked outside my house at the time. Jumped in the back of it, started shouting, singing all around the street, Titi Camara. Jumped out of the thing. And I ended up with my... with me leg in a plaster cast for 6 weeks.
How could he not be your cult hero?
What about you, Phil? This can't be a mad show.
No, I just forget about players after they leave. I genuinely do.
I don't think you forget Mignolet because he'll never leave.
No, never. I don't, the cult hero thing, I used to love Biscan. I know everyone is there. I thought he was mad. He was just walked around and started looking like Frankenstein. Wasn't even there half the time. Just had this empty look.
Maxi Rodriguez would have been.
Maxi was a fantastic one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
David Speedy. He was absolutely phenomenal. Like, he was.
Andy, I'll tell you who will be in my list. David Speedy. Yeah. He was only in for
I bought into Dave Speedy as well, and Don Hutchison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don and David Speedy. I remember going, that's what we were signing him for. And then he scored. He probably only scored about 3 goals or something, but it seemed like he scored a load of goals really quick.
I mean, Gary Mack was some signing, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
But it's sort of the obscure ones.
Well, he was completely worthy of that term, called hero.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his face? Do that fella. He was playing for Arsenal. Centre half, came in.
Eric Carter?
No. Colo.
Cola Torre.
He was a cult hero before.
And deservedly so.
For nothing. No.
We want to wrap up here. So just have two more left. So first of all, and it's the most important one, it's probably more important than the Coutinho transfer and who's going to replace him. By the way, the transfer exclusive we meant to tell you tonight is that we've heard word that we've opened negotiations with Di Maria. Take that, bank it, and get it by the end of the window. The one I wanted to ask is, who's winning the scrap between Jose and Conte? Because, let's be honest about it. Conte has put it out there. I'm going to kill him.
Conte.
Right? He's saying, no, this is personal. This is between me and him. This isn't even about football or the clubs. This is about me and him. Yeah. He's putting it out there. There's horses' heads and all being sewn off at the moment.
And Conte is using it as his barn.
To Manchester. Well, he doesn't live in Manchester. He lives in London still, doesn't he?
He's living in some Delowry hotel, isn't he, Mourinho?
Yeah. But anyway, he's... so who's winning? Ray.
I hope the two of them club each other to death. Two fucking agents. It's good. I think it's good for everyone else.
I'm liking Conte. I like that Conte is snapped.
Do you know what it is? I don't like Mourinho, but in fairness, he had him on skates because Mourinho never mentioned names. He just basically said, because I don't run up and down like a lunatic, doesn't mean I'm not passionate.
Yeah.
And he never said names, but I think Conte was like, the shoe fits, so I'll wear it.
And he's been making comments since he came back all the time with about Chelsea and Conte, right? So it's like, and this has been brewing since last season. There was
just a little prick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mourinho.
But he's looking at Chelsea. He's going, Chelsea could catch us in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he plays all these little games. Whenever he feels under threat in any way, he just resorts to these fucking things.
But who's winning the fight?
Who's winning the fight?
Oh, yeah. Conte, really.
Conte. Yeah.
I see Mourinho. He's basically just Vince McMahon in football. He's going to have dirty tactics. Conte be starting and somebody come in from the crowd and smack him across the back of the head or something.
Stephanie come in.
Mourinho's a little one.
I genuinely...
Conte will bash him.
Mill him.
I actually hope there is a fight on the touchline. It will make my fucking year if there's a fight on the touchline.
Well, something
is going to...
He had a go at him last year at Stamford Bridge, didn't he?
Yeah. An ice hockey fight. I want Conte to grab the back of his jacket, right, and pull it over his head and then just start showing undercuts and undercuts after undercuts into him. Something really filthy. Something that would bring the game...
Well, Conte's going to walk at the end of the season. He's not staying in Chelsea because he's already said he's not.
Wouldn't it be great if United against Chelsea?
He doesn't suit Chelsea.
No,
they don't deserve him.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
There's a better club out there. Yeah.
He seems to have like integrity.
Yeah.
Conte.
Moral fortitude. Yeah. Match fixing.
Like he's.
Yeah, but that wasn't him.
Do you know what? I'd love to.
That was
his boss. Love to see them play each other in the next round of the Champions League. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Home and away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, imagine that.
Well, I think, do you know what it is? I think the hysteria around the whole thing is just that there's no title race. So Sky Sports now are just gripping onto this.
Sean, just to finish out that question, do you reckon that McGregor would run away from a fight with Conte as well?
Depends if there's a belt on the line.
Had a load of cash.
Had a load of cash. You find him out in Thunderland next week.
With the winner fights in Thunderland.
They've been staying in the Walters for the longest.
Closing ceremony.
The closing ceremony. Fight between Jose and Conte. And winner might take on McGregor. Just depends on who wins the fight. Right, okay. One last question then. Andy, where's Steve-O?
I don't know. There's been an awful lot of questions being asked about Steve-O lately.
I think it's sad what happened to him.
I don't know if the Steve-O that we knew is still Steve-O.
Yeah.
Personally. Do you?
It's like Paul McCartney after he got abducted.
Thomas Lamar could be coming back instead of Steve-O. That's all I'm saying. There could be, you know, invasion of body snatchers here. I haven't seen Steve-O in 2018. I've seen a foot that he's claiming is his.
Not even, we didn't see a foot. Seen a shoe.
It's just a shoe.
That could have been just a shoe with
It could have been Google.
With a
Google a boot.
Yeah.
With a.
On a plane.
Yeah, with a jean on
a pair
broomstick.
Of jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a business class.
That could be a set.
So we
never landed on Australia.
Mm-hmm. The one thing we didn't cover tonight obviously is the racism thing that's going on between Holgate and Firmino. So the question that I think the question that was here was, do you know anyone that orders a fillet or fish at McDonald's?
Absolutely not.
No.
Well, if I did, I'd probably never speak to them again.
Well, inside there's a button. Only need the counter at McDonald's.
And as soon as someone
fillet of fish, fillet of fish,
and all the cameras just go,
the contact,
and they get like this fucking
contact the nearest garbage station. Yeah.
And it's just uploaded straight onto some register. So the next child that gets abducted, they just pull up all the people that ordered a fillet of fish.
That's how they catch a man in the Phoenix Park.
So, you just think all as soon as Firmino jumped out of the crowd and started screaming fillet of fish at the man Holgate, cameras everywhere going off.
For anyone at home, light a candle for Roberto Firmino, because he's had to go on holidays to fucking Rome to talk to Lucas, because fucking Coutinho and all is gone.
He's gone.
Do you know what? I don't care what we do with the Coutinho money, just buy a Brazilian. Even your man Ricardson off Watford, just get him in.
I don't want to comment on the racism thing, right? Because I think it's the player.
I think it's a lot of bollocks.
I think you know, it's interesting that the narrative in this is not like the Terry incident or the Suarez incident, where none of the press are saying that there's racism here, and anyone that, like, the Mirror's gone after and got lip readers in and saying, well, there's no racism that's involved, right? It's how the treat. But like the worst part about this, and I just want to finish off on the worst part about this, is that Holgate shoved Firmino in front of the ref into the crowd.
His head was gone after giving away the penalty. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. And then he done that. And when Firmino jumped up,
and I think
it's just him being a kid.
I think he also thought he would get away with it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You know, maybe yellow card at worst. I think he just basically. I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt and say that he just assumed that he said something racist because he was obviously saying it in Portuguese.
Well, if the ref straight away, as soon as Firmino is pushed into the crowd, pulls a red card, that never happens then.
No, but
he lost complete control of that game at that stage.
Do you not think the strangest thing about the whole, like, Holgate could put this whole issue to bed
by
like,
coming out.
Let's like race is a fucking it's a serious thing. So why have the media why give the media the opportunity to invent what's happened or to like he could actually just come out and.
You could tell a half time that the lads in the studio, particularly Gary Lineker, were dying to sort of say
something.
Yeah, there was something.
All I'm saying is that look, you know, it'll play itself out. I'm not in a position to say whether it was racism or not because, but I don't think it was. I think when you see the thing back and of a bit of Spanish and you know, a bit of Portuguese, and I don't think there's anything in there.
Do you know what? If he is found like that. He didn't say anything. Do you have to ban Holgate? Otherwise...
No, they won't.
This is just going to be a thing now. Everyone is going to start trying to ban him.
I think because it was in a different language, I think you'll get the benefit of that.
I think the embarrassment of the whole thing befits the punishment there, right? Oh, but I do think they should ban him for the shove. I think there should have been a retrospective because that's dangerous. That's not even dangerous play. That's just a dangerous action on the pitch.
Forget what happened. It's putting the public in danger. You push a player into the crowd. Like
Firmino wasn't even on the pitch when he pushed him. He was off the pitch. When he pushed him.
Yeah, I was more disappointed that Firmino didn't fucking play dead in the crowd. He should have.
But the referee had ignored the incident.
And that
was where I agree with you, James. That's where the control was lost.
Yeah.
Nothing. The rest of it doesn't happen if the referee turns around to Holgate and pulls out a card. Because Firmino doesn't come flying back. He's only stopping because the referee's in the face of the player that's going on. By not doing anything and ignoring what just happened in front of his face, the situation explodes.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's about as good as we can do. Right.
Anyone got any shouts for who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, we're into the divisional playoffs this week.
Yeah, so he's going to win the Super. I've got a really strong feeling for the Falcons.
Go Eagles.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Falcons win there, especially after last year. Yeah.
Well, the two of you there, you could be right, because the Eagles versus Falcons this weekend.
It is the Eagles, Falcons.
Eagles, Yoke is out though, isn't he?
Exactly, Wentz is out.
Wentz is done. I think. Nah, I can't see the Eagles.
I say 18 playoff for the college.
I'd like to see Drew Brees get another ring. The Saints.
Drew Brees?
Yeah.
29.
Yeah, and Yaman Kamara consistent. Is very good as well.
TD Kamara.
What day is that on? The final?
I think it's
February 4th.
Book the Monday off.
Yeah. 9-1 the Falcons.
February 5th?
Yeah. It's going to be a late one as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a late start.
Yeah, because it's in Minneapolis.
It's in Minneapolis.
Just,
the only thing is, in my head...
It's just going to be the Patriots again.
February
5th
is a Monday.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fourth into the fifth.
The stories that have come out about the split in the camp between Belichick and Brady suddenly changes the whole perspective.
No smoke without fire.
Yeah.
This is all going to be part of the narrative when they win it then and the two of them are...
Yeah.
That's the way it is. The Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are fucking like that.
Nick Saban, who won last night with Alabama.
It's like the Alex Ferguson of college football.
Do you know he originally started coaching with Bill Belichick's dad?
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching the build-up to the game last night. It was very interesting. And they had all the lads on talking. And then the big debate in America around the college football is through the extended 8 teams in the playoffs, the 5 power league winners, and then 3 round the selection committee.
Go to eight.
To me.
Much more entertainment. Yeah.
Because like you're
voting. They're basically voting, so there's bias all over the shop. Yeah. So you just cut that out.
Two SEC teams in it. You could still have the two SEC teams in it.
Stick.
Anyway, rolling on from there, I would say if I was putting an outside few quid on it, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the dark horses for the Super Bowl. They're not really dark horses, but I think they'll do the Patriots this year.
What happened last year with that game? The Patriots and the Steelers again. I remember it was just a shy game, wasn't it? They just grind them out, didn't they?
And should the Steelers? Oh, I should have done the Patriots this year. Do you remember the non-touchdown? There's going to be an additional bit between their teeth if the Patriots face the Steelers in the.
I like the Steelers.
AFC Championship.
I like the Steelers.
Despise the Steelers. But
do you know what? I'd be happy for any team to win that bad.
the Patriots.
And it's just for something. And the way the Falcons lost.
All I'll say is, if Mariota can keep scoring his own touchdown passes, the Titans are going all the way to the.
They will get smashed this week.
Okay, so that's it. Listen, thanks for everyone for watching. The podcast of this will be out later on. You'll miss some of the visual gags. hard luck. We will be back. Oh, no, the Fatback 4 are on live this week. So if you want to watch Little Gav in the Lebanon where he's been kept hostage until deadline day. Deadline day in more ways than one. If we don't get enough viewers that day, Gav won't be coming home. That's all I'm saying. So you better get tuned in. Okay, so yeah, so we will be doing something on deadline day. And Fatback 4 will be back this Sunday. Big thanks as ever to the Astro for letting us come in here tonight and to Skillzone, who continue to sponsor us until I talk to Steve when he gets back.
If he gets back.
From where we don't know.
Well, we know he was being detained in Australia.
Yes.
Due to a safari with koalas. I'm saying no more. But I will say that the koala population are known to have chlamydia in 80% of them. Right? So keep an eye. So anyway, that's it. Tonight I've been joined by Shawnee FC, James O'Regan, Andy Young.
Sean Dundee.
I'm myself, Phil. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you again next week. Over and out.